Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You can watch Coastal Carolina trying to win the College World Series. You can watch the NBA Summer League will be starting soon.
Coastal Carolina's in the finals?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, too. They're against who?
Arizona. They're losing 3-0. But you can go there to the Pelican
House.
Wait,
who's losing?
Coastal Carolina.
Okay.
No. So they're
I stopped paying attention once Tulane was
I guess you got to feel better if you're LSU about losing to them now that they're in the final.
Not really. So the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, they're awesome. They have 136 draft beers, a 50-foot TV. Go there. They're awesome. You should support them because they support us. All right. Dude, it's June 27th. I mean, Saints news is very slim. And when there is Saints news... At this time, Andrew, there's always bad. It's bad,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Saints, Kyle Wilson got put on IR. And here's the thing, my theory with all these Saints injuries. You got Kyle Wilson, you got Kikaha, and you got Sanford, right? Here's my theory, Andrew. The Saints, all these injuries is like if you are a regular person and you have, like, money issues and like a busted toilet won't necessarily break you, but a busted toilet and a busted TV and an electrical problem will screw you over as Andrew drops out and pulls a Dave. So Kevin, that's my theory with these injuries. Is like it's not like, oh my God, Kikaha, how are they ever going to recover? Or Kyle Wilson, he's the fifth or sixth corner. But there's Andrew, he's back. So
I'm back.
So, like, but that's my theory. Like, it's an accumulation of things. Like, it's not one or two guys, but, like, they're going to have a couple injuries in training camp, because they always do. Every team does. So that's going to be a couple more guys, probably. Maybe not out for the year, but missing time. So that's five guys of the 53, Andrew. So that's, like, 10% of your roster already that you can just, like, write off. And for the Saints, their roster is garbage, so they can't take the hit on the back end.
I mean, those are three guys I expected to make the team. I mean, I think you can argue with Roman Harper here. Jamarcus Sanford maybe doesn't make the team, but I think Harper was signed because Sanford got injured. So I really think that those were three guys that make the 53-man roster, and now obviously three people that wouldn't have made this team will now make the team because they're going down. So that's not the direction you want to go. But for me, the concern is the timing of it. It's the fact that it's happening before training camp even starts. They've already got three defensive players that would be on the roster that are out for the year. That is brutal.
Dave is sighing. You don't agree with that, Dave?
Oh, I mean, you know, I don't think the Jamarcus Sanford and the Kyle Wilson injuries are, you know, total death blows. I mean, I agree with Andrew. They were probably going to make the team. They were going to be backups on the team, but of course that was added depth.
Here's my thing about corner. I wrote about this on Saints Nation, and you're only as good defensively as your fifth and sixth cornerbacks, because as small as those guys are, that position always gets depleted. It always gets banged up. I mean, you remember the Super Bowl year, they picked up Mike McKenzie and Chris McAllister pretty much out of retirement. And they had to start those dudes because they had no one. Like, their top four guys, Randall Gay, Jabari Greer, Tracy Porter, they all went down. They were putting Usama Young in at nickelback. That's how desperate they were to play guys. So they got really banged up. And then last year, you know, Bro kind of got banged up a little bit. Keenan Lewis obviously was out. And, I mean, Swan and P.J. Williams were out for the year. I mean, you look at this year, like, the healthiest guy of their cornerbacks is the guy with a broken neck. So that's like the guy who has the most healthy recent history. And Kyle Wilson had a broken neck two years ago. Okay, but I'm just saying Kyle Wilson was a guy that played 15, 16 games for you last year. You know, he was a decent fifth corner that would have done the same thing this year. And you need guys like that on your roster. Now, you know, it puts more pressure on the Saints to play a Brian Dixon or one of these UDFAs that's probably going to suck.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, and it's a good point. And it just means that, you know, these guys, you know, those younger guys or the inexperienced guys, they need to step up. But, you know, to the point of the initial question, yeah, it's not fun. It's not a good situation to be in the middle of June before you even start camp. I mean, obviously, yeah. The Kikaha injury is probably the most devastating because Saints need help in the pass rush department probably more than anything else. And I think a lot of us were thinking this was going to be a big year for Kikaha, and now he's gone. So, you know, we'll just have to see. It's still way too early, obviously, to get upset or get disappointed. But, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with Saints fans that are saying, like, oh, we'll be fine, P.J. Williams and Damian Swan. I mean, you got to realize, like, combine them with Keenan Lewis, and, like, out of a possible 48 games played last year, they combined to play about 20, less than half. So, you know, I mean, that's great. I think you've got two prospects that we don't know much about that we're high on. And then Keenan Lewis, when he's healthy, obviously is a good corner. But at the end of the day, you're talking about guys a year ago that played less than 50% of the games combined.
People just don't like you bursting the June bubble, Kevin. That's all that is. I was arguing with someone over how good P.J. Wilson can be. P.J. Williams.
You just combine the name of two Saints corners.
I know. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be they're all just going to be Franken corner at the end of the year, Andrew.
Yeah.
So,
but hey, Brandon Browner's gone.
Yeah, at least there's that. I'm all in on the Dixon twins, baby.
All right. So, of course, since it's June, we struggle to fill Saints topics. The other topic in the news.
So that's our podcast. It's over. Thanks,
that's
guys.
Our podcast. Thanks for playing, Drive.
Have a good one.
The other Saints news before we get to a really fun.
We should stop it now because it would be the best sounding audio podcast we've ever
had. Don't say that, Andrew. You can't guarantee that. You can't guarantee that. We ran two tests, but that doesn't get. I hope people can hear my son in the background just wrecking things. It's fantastic.
I thought that was your cat.
If you hear like blocks tumbling and all in the background, that's my kid. What are you gonna do? But we got one other Saints topic to talk about, and then we'll get to a fun thing Andrew did of the top 50 worst all time Saints. Andrew spent a lot of time the top 50. I mean, it's fun. You should go there and read it. We'll get to it in a second, but. Andrew, the Saints, that it broke today. I think Gil Brandt for the NFL.com or whatever said the Saints weren't going to go to the Greenbrier. But every other media local person was like, no, that's not true. We ain't heard that yet. We're not reporting that. And then later tonight,
the Saints came out and actually said their official.
Right.
Yeah, they were like, we're definitely going back.
So,
are we plan on going back?
Swing and a miss for Gil Brandt, then, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's like 100. And
so far.
Like,
you know, I wish I could remember why he blocked me, but I remember him reporting something about the Saints like several years ago. And I like railed on him on Twitter, being like, hey, you were obviously dead wrong. Care to comment? And I wish I could remember what the story was, I realized today when this whole thing played out that I like went to his Twitter account and I realized I was blocked.
I got blocked by Les Miles, which I have no idea why. So
that's way better than my story. That's
like a life achievement right there.
Yeah. The funny thing is the tweet that I did that got the most traction ever was like from like 2 years ago. I went to the LSU Houston luncheon and Les Miles made a joke about UT and I tweeted it out and it got like 400 retweets or something. Because he just took a, I can't even remember what it was, but it was like a great dig at Texas, and people were like reporting it as like news, because I guess they saw my thing that I write for WWL, and people were like DMing me, do you have audio? I'm like, no, dude, I paid the $50, I'm here watching. That's my son. That's not the cat. That's my son.
That really sounded like your cat.
I know. Your son and your cat are just, it's unbelievable.
So
it's kind of like roommates getting in sync.
So Andrew,
I wonder if they menstruate at the same
so
time.
So Andrew, as I go and pick up my son and hold him on my lap for the rest of the podcast, I want you to tell the people what you did in the 50 worst Saints of all time, and just go into like a 45-second description of it.
Okay. Well, pretty basic, really. I decided to put together two lists, one that has the 50 best players in honor of the 50-year anniversary of the team, and then I did the 50 worst right after that because someone on Twitter was like, hey, you should do the 50 worst. And so, of course, I obliged. But Ralph was not happy. He was not pleased with my worst. He had a lot of disagreement with my rankings, and he felt that I omitted some guys. So I'm feeling like I should have run that list by you before I posted it.
Well, the thing, and I said the list is awesome, and it tilts towards recency, which is fine because 95% of Saints fans don't know anything that happened pre 2000, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, let's just be real about it, you know. But the thing, as I looked at the list, you didn't have him ranked number one, but you made a really, really strong case, and I want you to lay it out now. I think I think after talking to me, you might admit that you even got your own rankings wrong, and you made a really, really strong case for Brandon Browner being the worst Saint of all time.
And I put him number three. Yeah, I put him number three behind Heath Shuler and Jonathan Sullivan. And I think we can all remember that Shuler and Sullivan were both abysmally horrible in their own ways.
Yeah.
But the thing
Shuler's
about Browner,
so bad he opted for politics.
That's right. Yeah. See if you can go any lower. But for Browner, the main thing for me, and I think the recency thing is why I didn't put him number one, because I was thinking like, yeah, I mean, I'm just remembering him being so awful because it was so recent. But when you start to put together the whole thing, which is number one, he broke the NFL record for penalties. Like, no player has ever been penalized more in a year. So there was that.
Yes.
Then there was the fact that the Saints gave up the most touchdown passes in the history of the game for a season. And Browner was responsible for at least half of those. By the way, when you get a flag thrown on you, you're not giving up a touchdown, usually. So, although Browner was pretty impressive at getting flags on plays that ended up gaining more yards than the flag would have given them. And then lastly, the Saints gave up the highest yielded quarterback rating of all time.
Yeah.
And so basically any quarterback that went up against the Saints was an MVP. They were performing like an MVP player every time they played the Saints. And again, the rating does not include penalties. So that's on, like, you just take away the penalties. The NFL record penalties, just take those all away. And then on top of that, you get the best rating ever, because penalties don't factor into that. It doesn't help rating. So like, you combine all of that and it's just like he was god awful in every facet. Like, it didn't matter if he was fouling the guy or not fouling him or covering him or whatever, it all added up to the same thing. Like, I remember Shuler's season being two touchdown passes and 15 interceptions. I'm not sure that's worse.
No.
I have two questions. One, was Jason David on the list? Did he make the list?
Oh yeah,
he was top 10. He was like 8 or 9.
Yeah,
okay. Go ahead, Ralph.
Here's my question though. You had Lindsey Scott on the list. Do you bump him higher on the list because he did coke, or do you bump him lower?
Well, he was definitely higher.
Yeah. So I mean, like.
I get it.
So. But here
everybody else was a little slow to that one.
I feel like your only omission, and this is just because I'm old, is Billy Newsom, who the Saints they traded the number two pick in 1973 for him, and he only played 2 years for the Saints and was a complete disaster. I feel like if the Saints had traded the number two pick for somebody in the last 15 years, they might be a slam dunk number one.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just
Don't worry, Kevin. Though I got your boy Ted Gregory on.
I was actually getting ready to ask.
Well, now wait. I have a question. So wait. Well, first I have two questions. First of all, was Heath Shuler drafted by the Saints, or was he just signed by?
No, he was traded.
So, he was drafted by the Redskins.
They traded all right, for him.
He saved his worst season for the Saints.
All right, but you got Jonathan Sullivan at number two, and he was drafted by the Saints. So my question is, if you had Jonathan Sullivan go against Stanley Jean-Baptiste as worst Saints draft pick, who would win?
Jonathan Sullivan, and it's not close.
Okay.
Sullivan.
Well, to illustrate
did
why
he's
not
the
close,
list?
He does, but yeah, he did make the list. But to illustrate why Sullivan's worse, you know, Dave, I feel like your argument is always like, where was the guy drafted?
Yeah.
And Sullivan was a first round. Sullivan was like a top six pick.
Yeah, he was high.
And Jean-Baptiste was second round. And then on top of that, the question that Kevin always asks is, did they trade up? And the answer to that question is, they gave up two first-round picks to move up to get Sullivan.
But, and that's the thing, though. Like, what constitutes, like, I feel like a lot of the argument you have is they're horrible because of the bad picks, you know?
Like, that was part of it, yeah.
So, like, what?
I mean, there were some guys where it was huge contracts or, like, free agents that we expect, the expectations were higher. And then some guys where it was just, like, they really and truly just had miserable seasons.
Yeah.
And that was, like, Browner and Shuler, you know?
Who did I say that needed to be on the list and you were like, they got to play to be on the list?
C. Grant.
Oh, yeah, C. Grant. Like, Kenny Stabler, 1983, has got to be on the list because he was like almost single-handedly responsible for them not making the playoffs that year. Like he had such bad moments. Like they were beating Dallas by a point with like 45 seconds to go, and he got sacked for a safety, and they lost by a point. Like just like they were winning. They were beating the Jets like 28-7 at half on a Monday night, and he threw three second half interceptions. He was terrible against the Rams. Like, he just had so many bad moments that year that I feel like he needs to be on the list. But again, Andrew, that's me, old timey Saints guy, being on the list.
Yeah, there was some guy that said he had been a fan since 67, and he sent me a message on Twitter. You know, I mean, I can't compete with that. You know, obviously those guys that remember those years in the 60s and 70s. Yeah. I mean, those were some of the worst NFL teams of all time.
Well, I mean, the Saints in the 70s, they had an astronaut as a GM, which somebody sent me a picture of Dick Gordon for fun. And dude, he looks like a bad golfer from the 70s, what he was wearing. It looked like he was wearing Saints pajama bottom pants. I don't even know what it was. But
I try to include as many of those guys from the 70s as I could, but I'm sure I missed some.
So
and speaking of being an astronaut, who is operating a NASA shuttle?
Why? I mean, there's thunder outside. I think you're probably hearing thunder.
Okay.
It could be me as I battle a 7-month-old, which is fun because my wife is recovering from surgery and is not allowed.
My wife
is not allowed to pick up more than 15 pounds. That's always fun. But I guess that's it, and we'll get to Twitter questions. So
wait, well, what about the married guy?
Oh, the married guy. Yeah.
Yeah, this was my big contribution during the pre-show meeting.
Yeah, it was. So explain it, Kevin.
Okay, so a Saints player got married.
Michael Maudie.
Michael Maudie.
Maudie.
Maud. M A U T I.
Yep.
Yeah.
Son of a former Saint.
Yeah, he's gonna struggle to make the team though. The upgrade.
But he made the punt block last year.
Yeah, but the upgrade at linebacker has really hurt his chances to make the roster.
He's a special teamer anyway.
But being negative. So, I'm sure his wife thinks he's a special teamer. Yeah. So come on.
His wife.
Go on, Kevin.
So my contribution was, well, why don't all of us offer him advice from three guys who are married and one guy who used to be married?
Kevin, I don't know, as the guy who used to be married, I don't know whether your contribution should count double or should count half.
Well,
you know why they say.
We'll find out.
I'll say advice for marriage is don't stay mad. If you can manage to not stay mad,
That's good advice.
You'll be happy.
I should take it.
Like, that's the thing that makes my wife so awesome. She does not stay mad. And in fact, she gets it out. She might yell and scream, but then like 15 minutes later, she's totally forgot it. You know? So she doesn't she won't bring things back up from like 3 weeks ago where like, oh, you didn't do that and start it all over again. She doesn't remember it. She just looked at me and shrugged. She's like, yeah, I just don't remember it. So that's the thing for me is like, if you don't stay mad or you don't go to bed mad, you're probably 80% there. Dave, your advice?
Well, somebody else can go. My wife just walked up, so I can't give you advice while she's standing in front of me.
Andrew?
Shit, man. Am I the right person to ask? I would say that my advice is that, you know, and not too dissimilar for playing for a sports team. You're a team. And you have to pull your weight, and you have to contribute together to make things work. And I think it's different once you have kids. You know, I think when you're young and you're married and it's like the honeymoon phase, it's, you know, you can travel and do lots of fun things together, but once kids come, I think that's where the challenge is. I mean, it's just hard to find time for each other and do a lot of that stuff. And so I think it's just important to stay committed to your family and kind of just know that, I guess, just appreciate the little moments you have together.
Oh, that's lovely. That was like a real answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to go to
I'm lame.
Now.
I'm lame.
What is...
No, I think Ralph's is pretty good, and I mean, I guess mine would be somewhat similar. I guess I would just say that you have to let little things go. I mean, you can't have all these little picadillos, and you can't. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but you live with somebody.
Well, what in God's name is a picadillo?
It's a cafeteria. Like,
no, that's Piccadilly.
Piccadilly, dude.
You live with a person, and I think all of us we have annoying traits that our wives dislike about us, and
vice versa. Saying my wife is one of them.
My wife. So
and I mean you just have to accept those things. You can't get into some heated arguments, you know, over just petty shit. I mean, you got to save that for the stuff that's really important.
You got to save that for the big.
I'm serious because otherwise your entire relationship is arguing. You know,
yeah.
You have to be able to let it go. And I think that I've become, you know, because of my wife and because of my kids and because of my work, I think that I have. I know that I have definitely become a more patient person, and I like myself that way.
Kevin?
I was very high strung.
Kevin, your advice?
All of that is good advice, and that might have helped me. So who knows? let's see. Yeah, like all that stuff is great. I suppose it's easy to not have to worry about fighting about money. And you're, you know, even if it's the league minimum, when you're making NFL money.
That was going to be my thing, is if you're not on the same wavelength as far as how you spend money and how you view money, you're kind of fucked out of the gate. And that's a mean thing to say, but like if you have one person that just like spends and doesn't give two craps about bills and doesn't really pay attention to, and you have another person that's like a saver and all this,
and you know, and again, maybe this is a problem that you don't have if you do have money, but divvy up the like. Make sure that each of you gives the like an equal amount of effort or in terms of putting stuff into the relationship and doing stuff around the house. And again, maybe that changes because during the football season, you're out of there for so long. So maybe during the off season, your ass is doing.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. I put in a ton of work in the off season, knowing that when football season comes along, I am useless.
Right. So maybe it's like, you know, during football, well, you know, I'm just saying, you have all this stuff around the house that has to be done and worried about, and it doesn't work if it's all on one person. Or most of it is on one person. And, yeah.
All right, we got to wrap the Dr. Laura episode up.
Let's just tell Michael Motti that, you know, if you don't commit to your marriage, then you're looking at a lifetime being spent on Twitter, Ashley Tinder Madison, and wrestling.
Yes.
So if you don't want to go down that path.
Hey, dude. Hey, let me tell you, if he gets into wrestling, chances are it's because he's a former football player. Let me tell you, former football players can do pretty well in the wrestling world.
All right, let's wrap up the Dr. Lore episode because I got a seven-month-old that's getting out of control. All right, let's get to some Twitter questions. This is from Sports Guy. Who is the one player besides Breeze, Andrew, that needs to play all 16 games?
You know, I would say Teron Armstead's valuable, but they could probably put Pete there in a pinch, and he might be okay. So I would say the Saints are pretty freaking screwed if Cam Jordan is. I would pick Cam Jordan for 16 games.
With clear audio, do I get to hear Dave chew in surround sound? Let's hope so, but we don't know how the audio is until I hit the stop button.
I think it was pretty good tonight. I'm hopeful.
Don't say that,
I'm hopeful.
I'm not. I the way the audio has been going, I dread, even though I run like 6 tests. So, what is the impact Alex Gibbs is likely to have on the situation? Is Dennis Allen able to get the D on the same page? Who is Alex Gibbs? I'm drawing a blank.
I have no idea who Alex Gibbs is.
All right, this is from Matt.
He's not familiar.
He's a Falcon. Kevin, explain why Drew Brees is destroying the Saints. That's from a Falcon fan. Matt, I like him, though.
He's not. Like, I'm so thrown off by the audacity of the question that I can't come up with anything funny. I'm sorry.
He's destroying the Saints because he can't stop the run, he can't rush the passer, and he can't cover anything.
That's the funny answer. That's the answer I should have had.
But, let's see.
He can't pass it to himself, if I can steal a quote from Giselle.
So,
you know, I learned that Drew Brees caught a touchdown pass from LaDainian Tomlinson when they were with the Chargers.
So Rita just said in an interview that no matter what happens in the proceedings, she will be a part owner. Kevin, does that have you worried? That's a good question. That's from Chris. He's a Liverpool fan, but I like him.
No, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I think because I think we all know that the family dog is going to end up making all the decisions after Tom passes.
Oh, come on now. All right, that
whatever ownership she has, she'll be putting it in a joint, smoking it with Lenny Kravitz.
She's hopefully going to be like the dude. She's going to hopefully be
in
like
the suite.
She's hopefully going to be like the dude in Office Space, where they're like, "You didn't cash my check this week, and my check didn't clear." And he like they keep moving him, and he's eventually down like in the boiler room.
If you could go to Storage B and fix the cockroach problem, that'd be great.
All right, so that'll wrap it up. That'll wrap it up for this week. Go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got 50 best players, 50 worst players. Go to Canal Street Chronicles. Go to Twitter. If you like politic talk, me and Kevin, since it's June and we struggle to talk about find topics to talk about, we talk about politics. So feel free to flame us and say mean things.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. Hashtag I'll block you real fast. I'm having a block party. I have taken the advice of Andrew and I've weeded out people that annoy me on Twitter. So just be warned. So and you find that's what I'm saying. So just be warned.
You're going all Gil Brandt with it.
I am. So for Dave, for Kevin, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
They stole my swing line stapler and I said if he was gonna steal my swing line stapler that I would set the building on fire.
I did not receive a piece of cake.
There is not enough the ratio of cake to people in line. It's not a good ratio.
I put strychnine in the guacamole.
Oh, that was a good episode.
You better keep all of that.